March is Women's History Month. Two of four uniquely American religions were founded by women. In our next conversation with Dr. Newell Bringhurst, we'll talk about these four religions: Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and Christian Scientists. We'll also ask Dr. Bringhurst what other projects he's working on. Check out our conversation. Hey, I just want to remind you that Newell's latest book, Saints, Slaves, and Black, second edition, is going to be published on April 10th. Greg Colford Books has that, so please get your copy of that. I'm sure that's going to be really awesome. Also, if you'd like a transcript of this transcript as soon as it's released, probably next week or so, please subscribe on our website. For just $10 a month, you can get this transcript as well as all future transcripts that we will produce. You'll be the first one to receive it. Now back to our conversation. So what projects are you working on now?
Well, I, as you're well aware, I'm finishing up the Gospel Topics essay anthology with Matt Harris, and we've got all the essays in there, and we're just trying to finally smooth out the introduction. That's the only thing we've got left, and so beyond that, I'm working with Greg Colford on the two reprints or reissues of Saints, Slaves, and Blacks and Fawn Brody, the Fawn Brody biography. I'm also interested in a couple of local history projects. I've done a little bit with local history down in Visalia, where we live. I worked with a local historic preservation group in doing a history of our local Fox Theater. They were going to tear it down because it was no longer of use as a movie motion picture theater, and they were able to save it and restore it. And as part of the project of saving the theater, while I was finishing up the Fawn Brody biography, I was commissioned to do a kind of a biography of this local theater. And that was a lot of fun because I'm a movie buff. I love old movies and a history of the motion picture industry. And so I completed that. And I've started doing research on a couple of other, project that I done with local history. I did a history of the Ku Klux Klan in Tulare County. You wouldn't think that there'd be Ku Klux Klan in California, but we live in a very conservative area, and the Ku Klux Klan wielded some influence in our area during the 1920s and 1930s, and I did some major research there. So that kind of got my feet wet for local history, and two projects that are kind of on that are on the queue that I'd like to finish before I can't finish them, before I go beyond this mortal coil, would be a history of our college where I taught. We've just hit the 90th anniversary of the founding of the college, and I'd like to have something done before it hits its 100th anniversary in 2026, I think it will be. And I've collected all the materials, and the only thing I'm lacking are some oral interviews. And I've worked on that project off and on over the last, 10, 15 years. But it's been difficult to get institutional support or get enthusiasm from our school. But I'd like to finish that. It's, I think because it is the only institution of higher education in our county. With the closest four-year schools that we have, this is a two-year school. The closest four-year schools is Fresno State, and the other one is Bakersfield. California State University at Bakersfield. Those are the two closest to four-year schools. And so, it has a lot of history because a lot of our local people have gone there. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to finish that. And then I also got involved with a project involving Walt Disney and his interest in developing a ski resort at Mineral King, which was This was a big project that he wanted to do during the 1960s, during the last years of his life. And it was part of the National Forest, this Mineral King area. And he was an avid skier, and he saw this as having the potential for being almost a world-class Olympic class ski resort. And he took options on the land, and they made land purchases up there, and they were hoping to build that. And it was something that never happened because it ran into, part of it was the access, the road to get in there. It's a long, windy road. And so there were problems over how to get access into this pristine mountain ski area. And it ran into the opposition of the Sierra Club. And so there was a whole long controversy between Walt Disney and the Sierra Club and local politicians. They were on both sides. Some wanted to see the development. Other people wanted not to see it. And the community was divided. And this was a major deal in the 60s and early 70s, and it was ultimately brought to a halt when, under Jimmy Carter, the whole area of Mineral King, which was a part of the National Forest, was made a part of Sequoia National Park. And so that ended all consideration of developing that as a ski resort area. But I guess your audience would probably be interested, well, do I have any further plans as far as Mormon studies are concerned? And I have two projects that I don't know if I'll ever finish, and one of them is a comparative study comparing what I call the big four American original religions, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah Witnesses, and Christian Scientists in terms of their attitudes toward race and ethnicity, and their attitudes toward the place of women. And I actually have one article that was published in the John Whitmer Journal a number of years ago, where I actually draw comparisons between Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy, and Brigham Young, and how they dealt with the issues of slavery. And I'd like to pursue that because, you know, by looking at the personalities, because, you know, the two, I call those four religions four American originals, because they were all founded on, you know, by Americans, and they were unique to America. And they dealt with the issues in very different ways, you know. I mean, Seventh-day Adventists, which was founded by Ellen G. White, they had a very enlightened anti-slavery, somewhat pro-black attitude, whereas the Mormons, of course, kind of moved in the opposite direction, especially under Brigham Young. And then you've got the Jehovah Witnesses, who were they were more accepting of blacks, although they came after the Civil War. They weren't founded until after the Civil War by Charles T. Russell. And then you've got the Mary Baker Eddy, and she was quite anti-slavery, even though she lived in the South. I mean, she's kind of an interesting figure. And it also gets into the issues of gender, because you've got two of the religions that are actually founded by women. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists, Ellen G. White, and of course Mary Baker Eddy. And so you get to the issue of role of women and gender. And whereas Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses, they were much more patriarchal. Women do not are not given positions of ministerial positions in either denomination. And so I'd like to pursue that by looking at the leaders and how they, I've done some preliminary research. I actually spent time many years ago, a little bit of time actually in the Christian Science archives in Boston, Massachusetts. That's where the headquarters of the Mother Church is. But I understand that, you know, you've heard of Jeffrey Holland, of course, who is one of the 12 apostles. His son is a professor back at Harvard, and I understand he's been pursuing some of that same type of research, so he may beat me to the punch on that. That was one of my long-term projects. You might find him an interesting guy to do one of your podcasts with, because he's kind of a rising young star.
That's not Matthew Holland.
I think that's his name. I'm not sure.
He's, so, okay, because Matthew is actually the president of UVU, but he is
no, this is another son. This,
back to, I want to say Harvard, so...
I don't know if that's the son that's done, that's got the PhD in history or not, but one of Jeff Holland's sons has a PhD, and I believe it is from Harvard, and I understand. I don't know if that's the same son or not.
Huh. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a different son. You know, so it could very well be, so that means he's probably not going to ever do it now if he's become an administrator.
Well, Matthew Holland is the president of UVU, and I recall he's like on a one-year sabbatical or something back east, and I want to say Harvard. I could have the school wrong, so I'm curious if it's the same person.
Yeah, you might want to look that up, because I thought this Holland, you know, I can't remember his first name, but I know he's done some work in that same area, so I don't know if I'll ever get back to that. And the other thing I've always toyed around with is doing my own memoir or autobiography, but I don't know who would be interested in that. if people would be all that interested in my, you know, am I vain enough to think that I'm important enough that I would produce an autobiography that people would give a damn about?
Well, I bought a lot of your books already.
unlike Armin Moss, who's done his autobiography, or there's a number of other people that have written. I guess the most prominent example of an unpublished autobiography, which I understand is quite controversial, is Mike Quinn has penned his autobiography, which he attempted to get it published by the University of Utah Press, and I guess they wanted him to do some, significant editing, because I guess it was a very extremely long and very detailed, and I guess it had some other issues, and they told Mike that this has a lot of potential, but you need to do more work on it, and Mike was unwilling to do that. I've got this from pretty reliable sources, but of course Mike, is more deserving of some biographical consideration than Newell Bringhurst. In a lot of ways, he's a lot more he's had a much more interesting career than I have, and with of course the issues of dealing with his excommunication, and the fact that he's come out of the closet as being gay, he's had a very kind of interesting background. I recall a number of years ago, sitting in the back seat of the car when the two of us were going to a John Whitmer meeting in Nauvoo, and it was like a 6-hour trip, and he related his whole life's experiences, which are really fascinating. He comes from, his parents, a very unstable home. His parents were divorced. In fact, both his mother and father married three times, and he was basically raised by his grandmother. And, from a very young age, he was dealing with this whole sexual identity thing. And, I think his life story would be, somebody should take that up, because he is a seminal figure in affecting, the various aspects of Mormon history, and his Mormonism and magic, and his J. Reuben Clark biography is really an outstanding piece of work. And I think, to me, his two best books are Mormonism and Magic and the Clark biography. But there's somebody that you know, really deserves an autobiography, not Newell Bringhurst.
I talked to him. I talked to him this weekend, and I'm hoping to be able to set up something.
I think you'd find him very interesting, and people would pay close attention to him. And he is very he's always been very focused on his research. His whole life is research, is historical research, and he goes in the library and he can sit in that library, I think, for 12 hours and not even think about a break or anything else. He just plows ahead, and he has limited means of support. I mean, it's just amazing that he's been able to do what he's done. I do have some issues with the way he writes up his, his style of writing is not the most engaging. Quite encyclopedic. I don't know if you listened to his presentation on Joseph Smith as an entrepreneur.
I did.
And it was there. It was a listing of all the factual information, and he's kind of short on a thorough historical interpretation and analysis, which I find quite perplexing. Taken that he is, he was a graduate of Yale. Mm-hmm. You know, he received his PhD in training at Yale University. And I would expect that somebody coming out of an Ivy League program like that would have greater rigor in doing analysis and interpretation. And it's sometimes short in his writing.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Newell Bringhurst. In our next and final conversation, we'll talk about the Gospel Topics essays. He's working on a new book that critiques the Gospel Topics essays, and here's a short preview.
We go through all of the Gospel Topics, all 13 Gospel Topics essays, so it's composed of 13 chapters. I probably should pull out my notes so I could remember the name of all the contributors. We start with the Book of Mormon and looking at the historicity of the Book of Mormon. That was critiquing that essay, critiquing the essay on the DNA and the authenticity of the Book of Mormon. And then, of course, the different accounts, critiquing the essay that was written on various accounts of the first vision, the historicity and authenticity of the Book of Abraham, which is another very controversial topic.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you like our page on facebook.com/gospeltangents. You can subscribe at YouTube at youtube.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter @gospeltangents, as well as make sure that you subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our videos. Thanks again.